Daniel chapter 4 this morning, the book of Daniel chapter number 4. This is our Old Testament book that we're traveling through together, chapter by chapter, studying this book together. We've preached all the way through chapter 3, and now we pick up in chapter number 4. It's a long chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. It's 37 verses. I'm just going to read two verses to get our title. I will not get through this today. I may get through it tonight, but I for sure will not get through it this morning unless you want to skip lunch and stay here all the way through this evening, and we'll have a late supper tonight about 8 o'clock, all right? I don't think you probably want to do that. Maybe one or two of you would, but the majority of you probably would not. I'm not going to take a vote on that because I think I already know the outcome of it. Good to see Diane. There you are. I was hoping you'd get here today, and you did. God bless you, praying for you, asking the Lord to help you, so on. Daniel chapter 4, look at verse number 4 and then verse number 33. This is the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the tree. It'll make sense, I hope, as we travel through it. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Look at verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Wow, right? This man has lost his mind in this chapter. You'll notice in verse number 4, he gives his testimony, I was in my palace. But yet verse number 33, he's driven out, living with the animals, eating grass like the oxen. And today I want to begin a message that I've entitled, From the Palace to the Pasture. From the Palace to the Pasture. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. And I pray as we just get started today that you'll help us to be faithful to your word. And Lord, this overriding thought that you rule and reign and man is to humble themselves before you. May you drive it to our hearts and through our hearts and in our hearts where we cannot get away from it. Speak to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the introduction, I'm going to summarize the chapter for you. Wait on me. It's a full page. Here we go. Today we come to a chapter that's very unusual in its content. When you read this chapter, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar was at rest and he was flourishing in his palace. But he had a dream in which he saw a tree. The tree was very strong and it was so tall that it could be seen over all the earth. The Bible teaches here in his dream when he's talking about it that this tree was very beautiful. It had a lot of fruit and food for everybody to come and eat and partake of it. The beast of the field had shadow underneath it, and the birds dwelt in its branches. But then one came down from heaven and cried aloud to cut down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, to the point that the beast under its shadow ran away and the birds in its branches flew away. The only thing that was going to remain after they cut it down was the stump. The stump was going to have a band of iron and brass wrapped around it. The tree, obviously meaning a person, would be the one from heaven went on to say that he, because it goes from it to he, obviously talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, he was to eat what the beast eat, and his heart would be changed from a man's heart to a beast heart until a lot of time passed over him. Now, this was all going to happen, and I quote, in order that, quote, the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This dream troubled the king. Would it not trouble you? This dream troubled the king and made him afraid. He was terrified. He called all of his wise men in. You'd think he'd already learned that they wouldn't know the answer, but he called them in. They could not interpret the dream. But then Daniel comes in, and the king asked him to give the interpretation of the dream. When Daniel heard the king's report of the dream, in other words, the king told him his dream, the Bible says that Daniel was astonished. He was amazed. He was troubled for 1 hour. He then told the king that the tree was the king himself, who had grown and become very strong, whose kingdom had extended to the end of the earth. Daniel went on to tell the king that the one from heaven who spoke to cut the tree down to the root was a pronouncement of judgment upon the king, to the point that he would act like an animal and be put out of the palace for a while until he knew that it's God that reigns, not him. However, his kingdom would be given back to him when he learned this valuable lesson. Now, after giving the interpretation of the dream, in verse 27, Daniel pleaded with the king to repent. He tells him, do away with your sin. I'm paraphrasing. It could be that God will extend mercy to you. But after 12 months, God gave him a year. And after 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in the palace of his kingdom. And he said, and I quote, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? In other words, after a whole year, God's been gracious to him, giving him a year to repent. He's walking around looking at his mighty kingdom, and he says, look what I have built by my power, and I've done it for my majesty. And you read the chapter, God interrupted him. God stopped his statement. He said, even while the word was in his mouth, listen to this now, the Bible says that God stepped in. And he said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And this would happen until he knew that God rules and reigns, not him. The same hour, the Bible says, it was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. He went insane. He lost his mind. They drove him out of the palace, and he's now eating grass like a wild animal. He slept outside until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, whatever that means, and his nails were like bird's claws. Now, at the end of those terrible days, finally, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, he said, then I lifted my eyes to heaven. And when he lifted his eyes to heaven, the Bible says his understanding came back to him, and he blessed the Most High, and he praised the Most High, and he honored God for who he is, and he recognized finally that this is not one of many gods, this is the one and only God. And God restored his kingdom to him and even blessed him more than he had ever been blessed before. When all was said and done, King Nebuchadnezzar gave God the glory he deserves. And he ends the chapter by saying, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I've got right here in all capital letters, what a wonderful story, exclamation point. As we meditate on this story that I just summarized for you, we see this king went from his palace to grazing in the pasture like an animal. And there are many points we can learn from to help us in our lives today. No doubt the overriding point is that pride God will not put up with. And he's trying to prove that he is the one and only God. But to help us with our understanding, God laid on my heart three characters. We're going to look at them separately. I hope to get to two of them this morning. Character number one is Daniel. Character number two is Nebuchadnezzar. And character number three is the Most High God. Now, I'm going to separate these, and we're going to first of all look at Daniel. Now, the first individual that we're going to look at in this chapter, just to study him, to glean some things from him and to apply these truths to our own life, is this man by the name of Daniel. Daniel's brought into this story by Nebuchadnezzar. His wise men, his astrologers, his magicians could not interpret the dream again. So he turns to Daniel, and Daniel begins to interpret the dream. Now, as we look at Daniel in this chapter, there are three things that I see that we can glean from Daniel in this chapter. Number one, these are just applicable points, application. Number one, first thing about Daniel, first of all, he had a good testimony. You see this, notice verse number 8, verse number 9, and verse 18. Notice this, verse 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. Whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now here's the point I'm trying to get to. You'll notice in all three of these verses that Nebuchadnezzar says the same thing about him. Notice in all three of these verses that the king said, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in Daniel. Now get this. Even though we know that Nebuchadnezzar was believing in many gods, and it was not the spirit of the living gods in Daniel, it was the spirit of the living God in Daniel. We know that. But at this time, Nebuchadnezzar, he believed in many gods, and he said, here's the only thing I know. There's something different about you, Daniel. There's something in you that's not in my other magicians. There's something in you that's not in my other astrologers. You have something we don't have. What is it? This is how God spoke to me, first of all, with Daniel. The way he spoke to me is how even among those who do not even know God at this time and may even have their own doctrine completely messed up like Nebuchadnezzar, God's children should still strive to have a testimony that shows them there is something different about those people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. May I say to you, we should be so spirit-filled that the world can see the difference in us. Let me ask you a question. What is your testimony, even among the unsaved? What's your testimony, even among those who don't believe like you believe? Can they tell something different about you? Is there something on you, in you, ruling you, that causes them to say, something's different about them? You know what? God give us Christians like Daniel, that even when Nebuchadnezzar was believing wrong, he believed in many gods, Nebuchadnezzar knew, this boy's got something that my boys don't. What a testimony. Number one, Daniel had a good testimony. Number two, Daniel spoke God's word faithfully. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 19. This is after Nebuchadnezzar gave his dream to Daniel. Notice verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. That means amazed. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar, Daniel answered and said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the air had their habitation. It is thou. Sound familiar? Thou art the man. Sound familiar? It is you, king, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the degree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens rule. Now you say, Jody, what's the point? Is it not obvious? May I say this to you? King Nebuchadnezzar could have had his head cut off just like that. And the king said, what's the interpretation? He said this. He said, the tree is you. You think too highly of yourself. You are the man. God's going to cut your tree down, king. He's going to cut you down to size. And you're going to be driven out. Here's the point. Daniel did not sugarcoat the judgment passage that God gave him. Here's the point, my friends. No doubt it could have been tempting for Daniel to hold back part of this interpretation, but he didn't. One preacher who's already with Jesus said he stood in front of the king as a slave. That's who he was. He was a slave. By the power of the king, his life could be snuffed out. He stood in the presence of the king where there was a den of lions waiting, where there was a fiery furnace waiting. Daniel stood in the presence of the king and delivered faithfully God's message. What a great lesson we learn from Daniel here. Don't hold back God's truth from others. Preach all the Word of God, even the passages of condemnation and judgment. One preacher said it well. He said, my observation is that the average preacher does not do it. Rather, he fills the pit of hell and damnation with flowers. He speaks to compliment. It's not popular to denounce sin and to threaten men with what God says about judgment to come. Another preacher put it this way, the plainness of the revealing reminds us of the manner of in which the prophet Nathan condemned David when he said, thou art the man in 2 Samuel 12:7. It's not easy for God's servants to be so plain, especially when it involves denunciation and condemnation, as was the case with both Nathan with David and Daniel with King Nebuchadnezzar. But if we are not plain, we compromise. A mark of a faithful servant of God is plainness in his message. Plainness may not impress the intellects and diplomats, but without plainness, we muddle the message, and a muddled message is a message that has little value, and I say amen there. May I say this to you? Any preacher who just has a smile on his face, like Mr. Joel Osteen, I'll call him out. He just has a smile on his face. Everything's peaches and cream. The devil's good. You're good. That man doesn't love you. He'll send people to hell. Now, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. God loves the world. God cares about the world. God does not want to judge the world. He's not willing that any should perish. But when a preacher gets up and he smiles and said, it's okay, live any way you want to live, do any way you want to do, everybody's going to get to heaven their own way. That is a lie from the, I'm talking about from the straight, from the pit of the devil's hell. I'm telling you this morning, I love people, and one way you know I love you is I preach it straight to you. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm mad this morning that there's preachers who just get up and sugarcoat when God said, he that doth not have the Son, he is condemned. He's on his way to hell. A preacher who loves you will tell you, thou art the man. That's a preacher who loves you. Amen. Amen. I know I'm preaching hard this morning. I know sometimes it seems like I'm mad at the world. I'm not mad at the world. I'm mad at the devil. And I am tired of God's children, God's preachers, worrying about losing people in their churches if they preach against sin.
If they preach against that and against that, well, what if the people leave and go find a church where it's all sugar-coated? Folks, listen to me. God never has been a sugar-coating God. God says, I love you. I want to save you. I want to change your life. But if you say no to me, you will burn in the lake of fire forever. And we learn this from Daniel. We learn it here. Daniel was a man that probably would not last long as a Baptist preacher. He looked King Nebuchadnezzar in the face and said, you are wrong, sir. You need to repent. You need to turn from sin. God, give us more Daniels like that. God, give us more Daniels like that. Number one, we notice Daniel had a good testimony. You know, I try to convince myself every now and then that I'm going to calm down and I'm just going to talk to you. I'm sorry, I'm just not made that way. It's just who I am, friends. I'm telling you, the world needs to hear that without Jesus, it's hell. They need to hear that. You think Daniel would tell them that? And so will any faithful preacher of the Word of God. Number one, he had a good testimony. Number two, he spoke God's Word faithfully. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what some people focus on? Exhorting. Should a preacher exhort? Should he encourage? Absolutely. Absolutely he should encourage. He should exhort. But isn't it interesting that in 2 Timothy 4:2, he starts with two negatives and then he gives the positive? Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. I want to be a preacher that does all three. Reprove what God reproves. Rebuke what God rebukes. And then exhort what God exhorts. May I say this to you? God's not in a preacher that all he is condemnation either, friends. Amen. God's not in a preacher that all he is peaches and cream, happy all the time, everything's great, doesn't matter how you live. God's not in that. But God's not also, listen to me please, it's opposite spectrums. This is why Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night's important. Amen. Because when you preach through books of the Bible, there are some passages like this, rear back and blast sin. But then there'll be other passages on a Sunday night, Wednesday night, and maybe even Sunday morning, just where we're at, and God lifts your spirits and says, just keep going. God's on the throne. Just keep trusting Him. You listening to me? God's not in it. Everything's okay. Even the devil's good. God's not in that. But God's not also in a constantly beating down. God's not in that either. There are some preachers, all they do is beat people down, beat them down, beat them down. That is not a true man of God. A true man of God will beat down sin, but not people. He will not attack people, he'll attack sin. And he will reprove and rebuke, but then he will also exhort. And all I'm saying to you in this passage here, I'm sorry, we're in a reproving and rebuking passage right now. This is what he's doing. He spoke God's word faithfully, even though it meant judgment, even though it was unpopular, even though it may have been uncomfortable to stand before King Nebuchadnezzar. He'd just thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, friends. And to look at him and say, that tree that got cut down, it's you, sir. Good night. God help us to have that same kind of spirit. That when God speaks, it doesn't matter if it's Nebuchadnezzar or who it is. We need to, in love, tell them the truth. You got it? You got that point? Let's get off that, okay? Number three, Daniel had a good testimony. Number two, he spoke God's word faithfully. But number three, here it is. He called on the king to repent. You see this in verse 27. Notice it now. He says here, wherefore, because of this, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. You know what he's saying here? After he gave all the interpretation of the king and how he was headed for destruction, Daniel called on the king to break off his sins, break off his iniquities, to show mercy to the poor. He said, for it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. You know what tranquility means? It means It may be a lengthening of your security, your safety, and your quietness. You know what Daniel wanted for Nebuchadnezzar? Peace. That's what he wanted for him. He said, I want you to have tranquility, King. I want God to let you just keep being restful, quiet. But in order to get to that quiet, I must tell you the bad news first. Don't you see what he's doing? Here's the bad news. If you don't change, God's going to cut you down. So, King, change. Repent. Get rid of your sin. Maybe God will show mercy to you. What a witness. What a witness here. Daniel was telling the king to turn from his sin. Because when he did, God would maybe have mercy on his soul. What a bold and courageous thing that was truly done by Daniel. He did not hesitate to risk his job. He did not hesitate to risk his neck in indicting Nebuchadnezzar. He told the king, you have sinned. Turn from your sin. Get this, friends. He's standing before the most powerful human being on planet Earth. This man is ruling the world at this time. This is a world kingdom. And this man, his word is like God's. I mean, cut his head off. They cut it off. And he said, all because of this, you have sinned, sir. Turn from your sin. Turn from your iniquities. He has no idea how the king's going to respond. The only thing Daniel knew was this. If the king did not turn, he would be cut off. So Daniel was willing to risk his own life to save the king's. That's what Christians should be doing. That's what I should be doing. Do I really believe that somebody who's lost is going to a devil's hell? If I really believe that, it's happening whether I believe it or not. But God's told us that. And in love, we tell people without Christ it's hell. But listen, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. God loved you so much that Jesus came, died for you. If you'll put your faith and trust in Him, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven for all eternity. Is this not what Daniel's doing? God's going to cut you off, sir. You are proud. You're ungodly. You're living in sin. God has spoken. You can't change it. He's already pronounced judgment. Turn or be cut off. So please, sir, turn. Turn. Repent. Change. Don't let this happen to yourself. He pointed the king to the way he could avoid God's judgment. See, he not only shared how Nebuchadnezzar was condemned, but he shared how he could escape it. Is that not what a gospel witness should be doing today? Sure it is. This is Daniel. The application here is obvious. We're not only to share with others the promise of coming judgment, but we are to call upon them to repent and receive God's peace instead of His judgment. This is only accomplished by pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only way of salvation. People are condemned to a devil's hell. They need to be told so. However, they need the hope of the gospel shared with them to show them how they can escape eternal judgment. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. All I'm preaching this morning under Daniel, this is the first character in this story, is he had a testimony. That even though the king's doctrine was off, even though he was pagan at this time, he was not a child of God at this time, he had it messed up at this time. He still looked at Daniel and he knew something was different about Daniel. And there ought to be something different about God's children. Number two, it was a hard message to give to the king. It was a message of judgment. The king said, here's my dream. What's it mean? Kind of makes you think a little bit with Daniel, doesn't it? When it said what he did is he just sat in astonishment for an hour. When he heard this, Daniel knew what it meant. Imagine the deafening noise of Daniel's silence during that hour. I'm doing this for effect. It may not be worth it. Don't fall asleep. It may not be worth it. Put yourself in Nebuchadnezzar's place. He's asked Daniel, what's it mean? I know you know. And Daniel just sits quiet for 1 hour. Get where I'm getting the deafening noise of that silence? And the king finally can't take anymore. And he says, please don't hold back. Just tell me. He said, okay. The tree that reached up to heaven, the whole world can see it, has mighty power, beautiful, shade for all the beasts, branches for all the birds. And yet a voice from heaven came and one comes down and says, cut it down to the stump. That's you, king. God's going to cut you down until you come to the point to where you realize it's not you that has power, it's him. But I don't want to see you be cut down. So why don't you just repent of your sin? He's still talking boldly, don't you get it? You're wicked, sir. The most powerful man on planet Earth, you're wicked. That's what Daniel's doing. You're ungodly. Turn! Plead for mercy. And God may give it to you. You know, I was wanting to get to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not even going to start Nebuchadnezzar. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are people maybe sitting in this congregation right now that in your heart you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven. And you think everything's okay. I'm telling you upon the authority of God's word, everything is not okay. There's a real burning hell at the end of the road for every non-believer. And a preacher who loves you, I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm not doing that. But a preacher who really loves you will shoot straight with you. And I'm telling you, the word of God says that the wrath of God abides on non-believers. But I'm glad it didn't stop there. Daniel went on to say, because that is true, repent. Get your sins away. And God may just give you more peace. What a beautiful story. Beautiful story. So as we apply this, let me apply it this way. If you're lost today, understand that your future is terrible. But if you come to Jesus, your future that will be painful, and instead of cutting you down, he'll lift you up and give you peace. If you decide to trust him, to believe him, to accept him. On the flip side, a majority here, maybe all in here today, are professing Christians. Those, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. Isn't that a great thing to be able to say that? What's the application for us? Is it not obvious? Be a Daniel. Even among people who are lost, undone, at work, at school, they ought to look at you and say, something's different about them. I don't know what it is because they don't know Jesus. But they act different, they talk different. Something's different. Learn to take the Word of God for what it is and tell people that we're all sinners. Condemned. But if they'll turn from their sin and trust Christ, He'll give them tranquility. I like that word. It's too big for me, but I like it. Because I know what it means. He'll give them tranquility. He'll give them safety. He'll give them rest. He'll give them peace. You know what the world is searching for? Tranquility. That's why they're hooked on drugs, hooked on alcohol, thinking going against this and trying that instead is going to give them peace. They've got it all mixed up. Peace is not something. Peace is someone. The Bible says Jesus is our peace. So the message today, a little hard, I know that. But I'm not going to apologize. Because Daniel knew if this king did not respond, he's going to be cut down. That's as far as we've gotten so far. Tonight, God willing, we'll start with Nebuchadnezzar. Some things we need to learn there as well. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless today. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. What a powerful chapter that we're studying. Powerful chapter. God has been speaking to me in my study. Father, take and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Today there are basically just a couple of things with several things underneath. When they get prepared, I want them to begin to play through softly as they possibly can. There are two types of people on planet Earth, not just in this building, but on planet Earth, and that are those who are on their way to heaven and those who are on their way to hell. There is no in between. It's according to the Bible, according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. If you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven, you don't hope so, you don't think so, but you know so, you are going to heaven. You know that. There's been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You have turned from your sin and trusted the Lord, and you've asked Him into your heart to forgive you and change your life. And by faith, you have been born again. If and only if, with a holy God and all-knowing God watching you, if you know you're going to heaven, not hope or think, but you know that you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it great to be able to put your hand up to that question? Isn't that great? You can put your hand down. But I hope while you raised your hand, you said, thank you, Jesus. Now, there's some of you in this auditorium, you could not raise your hand. I want to say thank you for being honest. And I want to reiterate something to you. When a preacher preaches against sin and against ungodliness, sometimes he can be mistaken as a hater. If that's the case, then Daniel hated Nebuchadnezzar. But did Daniel hate Nebuchadnezzar? No, Daniel loved Nebuchadnezzar. But true love rebukes. True love reproves. True love shows what's wrong. True love will tell people there is a devil's hell awaiting you without Christ. But just like Daniel's love not only condemned this man, Daniel's love also pointed this man to Jesus. He pointed him to a way where he did not have to be cut down. He did not have to be brought down if he would make the choice to turn to God. Now, if you did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. But do you see yourself according to the Bible? I'm not asking you think what you think, but what the Bible says. Do you see yourself if the Bible is true? And it is. I'm not saying if as if we doubt it. I'm just trying to talk like you maybe right now, potentially. If the Bible is true, you're crazy to go on in sin and not trust Christ. Because if you trust Him, He will give you what you're searching for.
that is tranquility, peace, rest. Is there one here today? I'm not going to come to your seat. I would not embarrass you for anything on planet Earth. You have my word on that. But I would like to know how to proceed and how to pray. If you're here today, I will not call your name. Many of you, I don't know your name. But I would like to pray for you. Is there one, say, Jody, I could not raise my hand saying I know I'm going to heaven. But boy, I sure wish I could. I have a desire to. And I realize that I don't want to burn in hell. I want to have eternal peace and rest and tranquility. I want to repent and come to Jesus. Is there one like that? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Please don't let the devil convince you to keep your hand down. We love you. God loves you. Don't settle for anything less than peace. If that's you, would you quietly, without drawing attention to yourself, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I do not want judgment. I want peace. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. But I know somebody who is not. It may be a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a relative, a classmate, a teammate. If you say, Jody, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I know somebody that I believe is not going to. Now, you're not trying to judge, but if you had to answer that question, you'd say, I don't think they're going. And if you know somebody like that, would you raise your hand? Be honest about this. You say, I know somebody like that. Yes, that's a lot of you, a lot of you. If you raised your hand, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me closely. Don't misinterpret this message. Don't be ugly to those people. Don't go to them and say, I'm going to tell you one thing my preacher said, you're going to burn in hell. No, that's not the way to, you don't win somebody to Jesus by jamming it down their throat. But in peace, in love, in compassion, you share the gospel with them. That without Jesus, there's no hope. There's no peace. And there's eternal judgment. But they don't have to settle for that. They can come to Christ. You know what I think would be good this morning? For many of you who raised your hand, to bring that person to the altar. I'm not talking about, they're probably not even here. I'm talking about just come and pray for them. Your prayers could be the only thing that keeps the door open for them and gives them another opportunity to trust Christ. Father, take this and use it. Thank you for the testimony of Daniel. And help us to take it and apply it to our lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together quietly. Father, take this thought and use it, I pray. Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary is going to sing. If God is speaking to you, maybe you need to be saved, or maybe you want to come and pray for somebody who's lost as he sings. Would you come now? Would you do it, please? Come now, please, as he sings.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
There's judgment waiting for those precious people.
Thou
There's judgment
the
waiting.
Potter,
they need somebody with love.
I am the clay.
Come to them and not sugarcoat it.
Mold me.
Don't be unkind. Don't be nasty. Don't be unloving.
After thy will.
But in love and compassion, share with them the truth.
While I am waiting,
that without Jesus,
yielded,
it's eternal judgment.
Still,
but it doesn't have to be that way.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Christians need to pray more
have
for the lost.
Have thine own way.
Asking God
Search
to draw
me
them
to himself. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, we're about through. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord, but you did not raise your hand, but God is dealing with you. After church today, I'm going to be out in the parking lot shaking hands. If you'll come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I did not raise my hand, but I need Jesus. We'll be happy to spend all afternoon with you if we have to. Because we know what the Bible says. Without Jesus, it's eternal death. With Him, it's eternal life. Before I let you go, I'd like you to look at me just a moment. I never want to come across as a hateful preacher, ever. Ever. And if earlier in this message I came across that way, I apologize. But I want you to know, if I came across hateful, it wasn't at you, it's at the devil. The devil is sending people to hell by the busloads. And many times he uses preachers to do it. To let them think everything's okay. You just keep doing the best you can and eventually you'll make it. A preacher like that is not your friend. A preacher like that's your enemy. Because it's only Jesus that can get you to heaven. And that's all I'm trying to preach today. May God help us to have the right spirit. I preach that often, right? I want to live that. I want to have the right spirit about it. But I also want to preach it straight. Because that's what God expects. It's His word. Let's be faithful to it. Amen. Thank you for being here today. If you're a visitor and have a visitor's card that you filled out, please go get your free gift at the Welcome Center. And please come by and shake my hand. I'll be out in the, don't punch me now, but shake my hand. I'll be out in the parking lot. Be back tonight as we continue this study and dive into Nebuchadnezzar, some things about him. Brother Nick Lingerfelt, sir, please.